Would you open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28? Matthew chapter 28. Today we are concluding our four-week series on our mission statement. Our mission statement here at Village Church is this: we exist to glorify God, love people, and make disciple makers. Through this series in our mission, we have not only been asking the question, why is this our biblical purpose, but we've been asking this question: how are we to live this out? You see, the challenge with mission statements is not simply coming to an agreement as a church family that this is what we believe is true. The challenge isn't simply that we're united in believing that this is what God has called us to. The challenge for us as a church family is that we actually live it out. That this is who we are as a church. And my desire for us at Village Church is that these words which are rooted in Scripture, are truly who we are. That these words of glorifying God, loving people, making disciple makers, that it is a reflection of what we do. That it is a reflection of who we are, how we speak, how we act, how we engage in relationships in our family, in our neighborhood, in our community. You know, for many of you, you've been a part of a small group throughout this series in which you have been further discussing what it looks like to live out each part of this mission statement. And as you have gathered in those small groups, and as you've had conversations about what it looks like for us to live this out, I hope that you have been allowing those further discussion times to challenge you. I hope that you have been allowing those fuller discussion times to stretch you and convict you. I hope that as you've been having these conversations within those small group environments and questions have been posed to you, that you've allowed those questions to sit and rest upon your life. That you find yourself, just as you're getting ready in the morning, as you're driving to school or work, you're on the buses or wherever you're doing life, that you find yourself asking questions like, am I really glorifying God? Is my life really an outward expression of who God is? As I'm interacting with people in my everyday life, do they see the greatness of God because of my life? Am I loving people in a way that is leading people to God? Am I loving people? Am I willing to enter into relationships that are going to cost me so that they may know God? And as I'm pursuing Christ, am I becoming more and more and more and more like Him as a follower of Christ? If we're not allowing these questions to stretch us, challenge us, and shape us, and convict us, then all we're doing is just getting more information to put into our head. You see, these questions, as we study the Word of God, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, hopefully we're being transformed. Hopefully we're allowing ourselves to be aligned to who He has called us to be, both as believers in Jesus Christ and as the body of Christ. Oh, Village Church, may we be who God has called us to be. May we be who God has called us to be. Well, today we're going to conclude our series by looking at the final part of our mission statement. We exist to make disciple makers. We started the third part of this statement last week by looking at what it means to be a disciple. Last week we said the disciple is one who is following Christ. A disciple is one who is being changed by Christ, and a disciple is one who is living out the mission of Christ. If you didn't get a chance to hear that message, I really encourage you to go online and listen to that, because the reason why we started with a message on what it means to be a disciple is because if we're commanded to go and to make one, if we're commanded to go into people's life and show them what it looks like to follow Christ, to be a disciple of Christ, it begins with us being a follower of Christ. It begins with us individually living out what it means to truly be a disciple. And so now we're going to look at what it means for us to be disciple makers. You know, that's a phrase we hear a lot, don't we? I hope we hear it a lot at Village because it's the heartbeat of who we are, that we want to be disciple makers. But what does that really mean? Because if it is just a vague statement, what happens is we don't end up doing it. And so my desire this morning is that we bring more clarity to the act that we have been called to make disciples. And to help us understand this phrase, we're going to look at a passage that we briefly looked at last week, a passage that has become known as the Great Commission. It's a passage in which we see some of the last words of Jesus that he speaks to his disciples before he ascends back to heaven to be with the Father. And in these final words to his disciples, he places a purpose upon their life. He places a task upon their life. He commissions them to do something, to make disciples. And so if you're not already there, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28? We're going to be at the very end of that chapter, beginning in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Okay, so he begins with a statement of authority. What I'm about to say, I have the ability to do in your life. I have the authority to give you this commission. I have the authority for you to be able to live out this commission. And then verse 19, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And then after he gives this commission, then he leaves them with this encouragement. "And I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be with you always." Now, he's going to be with them through the Spirit that he's going to leave them with, the Holy Spirit. But he begins, he says, "I have authority to command you to do this, and the encouragement that I'm going to be with you as you do this." When Jesus talks about making disciples, he gives two descriptions, two attributes. He gives a definition of what that means, but by talking about two actions that they will be doing as they make disciples. He says, "You're going to be baptizing and you're going to be teaching." These are the two aspects of disciple making. Now, the reference to baptizing is really a greater reference to someone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. As we just saw earlier, as we said earlier, as we watched Bailey and Megan being baptized, that the act of baptism does not save anyone. It doesn't add anything to one's salvation, but rather baptism is the outward sign, the outward proclamation that someone has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus says, "Go and make disciples," he begins with the act of leading people into a relationship with Christ, in which they know him as Lord and Savior. And they're publicly proclaiming him as Lord and Savior. This is the first act of making a disciple, leading someone into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But then he says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." You see, one of the privileges we have after someone has placed their faith in Jesus Christ is that we now, as the body of Christ, we have the privilege of coming alongside them and showing them how to walk in obedience to Christ. When Bailey and Megan placed their faith in Jesus Christ, it was now the responsibility of their parents, Brian and Kelly, to show them what it looks like now to be a follower of Christ. It's our responsibility as the body of Christ to show them, to model for them what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And so when we think about making disciples, we need to know, we need to understand that Jesus is calling us into two significant actions. The proclaiming of the gospel, so that others may know him and place their faith in him. We sometimes call that evangelism. And then teaching people to walk in obedience to Christ. We sometimes call that discipleship. And so under the umbrella of disciple making, under the umbrella of making disciples, I want us to understand that there are two actions. Evangelism, proclaiming Christ to those who do not know him, and then helping the believer walk in obedience to Christ. When we talk about disciple making, when we talk about making disciple, we are talking about these two areas. And when we talk about disciple making, well, we're not just talking about the ministry of the church. An area of the church, a program of the church. When we talk about disciple making, we are talking about the ministry of the church. This is what we do. We are to proclaim the gospel to those who do not know him. We're to come alongside and teach others how to walk in obedience to him. In fact, all of our Christian lives could be summed up in the two areas of evangelism and discipleship. At some point, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, it was because someone told you the gospel message. That is evangelism. And then you have been a part of the body of Christ, hopefully, in which people have been showing you how to walk in obedience to him. That is discipleship. And we could spend several weeks looking at these two areas of disciple making, but for our time this morning and for the purpose of a time in our series, I want to focus on the second area that Jesus commands us in disciple making, and the area we call discipleship. You know, when we lead someone to a relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus instructs us to now teach them to observe all that I have commanded you, or your translation may say, teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And by the way, this is not just a command that he gave to pastors, to elders, to those who have the gift of teaching. This is a command that he gives to all who are followers of Jesus. This is what a disciple does. A disciple teaches others to walk in obedience to Christ. Now, when Jesus makes the statement, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, he's saying that our role is not simply to teach. Our role is not simply to teach what Jesus commanded, but teaching them to obey all that he has commanded. See, teaching the commands of Jesus and teaching someone to obey the commands of Jesus are two very different things. When we only teach people the commands, when we only teach people the knowledge of the Word of God, what it can just simply lead to is just more knowledge. It can simply just lead to, you know, intellectual, spiritual debates. It can lead to lots of theological conversations that can sometimes never mature our faith, could sometimes never allow our heart to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. We can have all the knowledge, but not obedience. We can have all the truth, but not maturity. You know, I think one of the challenges for churches like ours that place high respect in the Word of God, and that we see it as the very Word of God, churches like ours that put great value in being Bible-teaching churches, and by the way, that's a very good thing. It's a very good thing for us to come under the authority of the Word of God, but one of the challenges is we can find ourselves so valuing knowing the Word of God that we could actually find ourselves never actually living out the Word of God. That studying Scripture becomes the end goal. That Just knowing Scripture becomes the end goal, and we can find ourselves never walking in obedience to Scripture, never being transformed by the Word of God, and therefore actually never living out what it truly means to be a disciple. You know, Jesus knew this danger. He knew this bent in the heart of man. It's much easier just to gain knowledge than it is to live it out. Which is why when he spoke to his disciples one time, at great length, in a passage of Scripture that's come to be known as the Sermon on the Mount, it's found in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. After he had spent all this time teaching them what it looks to live lives that reflect who the Father is, he ended with these words. He said, "Whoever hears my words and does not put them into practice, it's like a man who built his house upon sand. When the rain comes down, the flood begins to rise, the house will collapse. But the man who hears my words and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on a rock. When the rain comes down and the floods rise, his house will stand." See, Jesus was saying, it's not enough that you hear the Word of God. It's not enough that you simply know God's Word. You need to obey God's Word. You need to live it out. You need to allow it to transform you and change you. See, that is what allows us to stand strong as men and women who are spiritually mature. The book of James has the same warning. James chapter 1, verse 22 says these words, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." How is one being deceived by merely listening to the word of God and not doing what it says? Well, the deception is that you can believe you are spiritually mature simply because you have knowledge of the word of God. The person being referenced in James is being deceived and believing they're growing spiritually. They're being deceived and believing they're walking in obedience to God. They're being deceived by believing they truly are living the life of a disciple. You know, there are people who have been Christians for 20 and 30 years and they know the Word of God. Maybe they even teach the Word of God. But since they haven't been obedient to the Word of God, they're living a lie. They're deceiving themselves. Deceiving themselves that they are spiritually mature. And then when life gets hard and difficult, and the rains come in their life, and the floods come in their life, and the temptations come in their life, they might find themselves spiritually and emotionally crashing to the ground. This is why we can have a pastor or a Christian leader who falls into some moral failure, and we can find ourselves on the outside just seem shocked. I can't believe that would ever happen to him. I can't believe that would ever happen to her. They seem like such great teachers. They seem like they had such great wisdom. They had such great understanding of the Word of God. But there is a difference between knowing the Word of God and living out the Word of God. One leads to knowledge. One leads to maturity. And so when Jesus instructs us to make disciples, he doesn't just say, teach them. He says, teach them to obey. Because that's where spiritual growth happens. That's where we walk in the joy of the Lord. That's where our faith is strengthened and deepened, improved, genuine. And that is where we develop true intimacy with God. And so when it comes to being disciple makers, the question for us is, how do we teach the Word of God in a manner that people walk in obedience to the Word of God? Well, I think it begins with us as the body of Christ building intentional relationships with each other. If we're going to be disciples, if we're going to teach people, young believers, new believers, to obey the Word of God, then it begins with us being in their life in a very personal way, in a very intentional way, in which we can not only teach them, but we can bring loving accountability into their life. See, this is what Jesus modeled for his disciples for 3 years. See, when Jesus gathered his disciples, he didn't just gather them in a classroom for 3 years and just impart knowledge to them for 3 years. He invited them to follow him and all that he did in those 3 years, to be in life with him. He was teaching them while they were walking down the road, while they're gathered and eating together, while they were in a boat crossing the lake. They were observing his life. He was instructing them. He was correcting them. He was encouraging them. He was engaged in their life as he was making disciples of them. You know, one day, Jesus had spent all afternoon and into evening teaching this very large crowd. And disciples started to see that it was starting to get dark. And if this group of thousands didn't leave soon, they weren't having any place to eat. And so they were getting anxious, and they wanted the crowd to go. Let's tell them to go to the towns and get something to eat. But Jesus looked at them and he said, "You feed them. You feed this 5,000 people." You see, Jesus was using this opportunity to see if they would live out what they had been hearing from him. This was an opportunity for them now to walk by faith. This was an opportunity for them not just be hearers of Christ, but be doers of how he desires to work through them. The Gospels are full of stories of Jesus being in an ongoing relationship with his disciples so that they will know what it means to follow and obey Jesus. That's what discipleship looks like. It's relationally driven. It's investing your time in your life in a relationship. There's accountability in that relationship. So you can see them begin to walk with Christ. You can see whether they're walking in obedience to Christ. In the book of Deuteronomy, God is instructing Israel to teach their children and the upcoming generation to know God and to obey his commands. And listen to what the Lord says to these parents in how they are to be in relationship with their kids and to disciple them. First, the Lord says to the parents in chapter 1, verse 1, "You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always." See, he says, hey, first, you got to be pursuing me first before you're going to be a disciple. You got to be a disciple before you can make a disciple. And then verse 19, this is what he says to the parents. "You shall teach these statutes to your children, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, when you rise." See, discipleship is done in being in life with another person. It's an ongoing relationship. See, discipleship cannot simply be accomplished through a preacher preaching on a Sunday morning or a Sunday school teaching a group of kids or teaching a group of adults. There's great value in this time of corporate teaching. There's great value in our kids being taught in groups and adults being taught in groups. But true disciple making must be done through intentional relationships with each other, because it's in these relationships that we have that accountability. It's through these relationships we can know and see whether someone is walking in obedience to the Word of God. See, it's in those one-on-one relationships that I can really hear about your marriage. It's in those one-on-one relationships I really know about those personal things that you're not going to share with a group of 30 or 40 or 50. See, it's an opportunity for us to really know how are they doing in their everyday life as they choose to follow Christ in their everyday life. And so as we desire to encourage each other in this area, the question we should be asking each other is, do I have those kind of relationships in my life? If we have been called as disciples to go and to make disciples, teaching them to obey, it's going to require that I have a few relationships in my life in which I am intentionally in their life for the purpose of seeing them grow in their relationship with Christ. You know, when we talk about those type of purposeful relationships, those are not relationships that we can have with a group of 40 or 50. I mean, if I'm really going to be intentional in someone's life and really be living life with them and knowing what's going on in their life, I can probably have a couple or three, four of those type of people in any given season of my life. Jesus certainly talked to crowds of thousands, but Jesus had a smaller group of men that he was pouring into in a very intentional way. Investing in those group of men, the very men that he now gave a charge to go and make disciples, because they had witnessed it firsthand, a very intentional relationship type of discipleship. In every season of our life, there should be at least one person, a couple people, that you're intentionally pouring into for the sake of them growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. I like to speak to the older generation of Village Church. There are young men, young women. There are young dads, young moms who need to see you in their lives. They need to see you in a very intentional way, living out what it means to be a follower of Christ. They need to be in a relationship with you. They need to know what it means as a young woman, as a young man, as a new married husband, a new married wife, as a mom who's just struggling to just to exist and do life and just have enough energy to survive with these kids in these young years. And what does that even mean in this stage of life to be a disciple maker? They need an older woman. They need an older dad to speak into their life and say, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. And for the older generation, if you're saying, well, I know where that starts, how do I even enter into those relationships? It begins with you asking God, God, bring me a young couple. Bring me a young man. Bring me a young woman that I can come into their life and help them know what it means to walk in obedience to Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every young dad in this church and every older, it had an older dad walking with them? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every young mom in this church had an older mom walking with them? Not only will you be building them up, but you know what you'll be doing for them? You'll be modeling for them what it looks like to be a disciple maker. And they will find themselves in a season with a younger woman and younger man who needs to know what it looks like to follow Jesus, who needs to know what it means to be intentionally discipled. And they won't have to say, how do you do that? They will just look back to the one who discipled them. You know, I think one of the biggest reasons why many people don't enter into discipleship relationships is because they simply didn't experience it in their own life. They didn't have anyone that came into their life and helped them understand what it looked like to follow Christ. Disciple making, of course, is not just about the older generation pouring into the younger generation. It's about any mature believer coming alongside a younger believer. It's any believer coming alongside someone and saying, this is how you do it. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let me enter into your life in a very intentional way so you will know what it looks like to be a disciple. I'm going to invite up the worship team to come forward and get ready as we close out our time. As they come up, I want to ask you this question. For those of you who have been walking with Christ for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, do you have that younger man and woman in your life that you are showing what it means to walk in obedience to Christ? You know what your starting point is if your answer is no, I don't? Is to say, God, bring me that person. I had a friend in Illinois who used to say, that is a prayer that God will always answer. that when we desire to have the heart of the Father to go and to make disciples and teach them to obey all that His Son commands us, that is a prayer that the Father will answer. When you say, God, would you bring me someone into my life that I can help follow Christ? If that's not a part of your life right now, would you make that your prayer? Feels scary, because what if they ask me questions I don't know? Just love them well and lead them to Christ. It's okay, you don't need to have all the answers. You just teach them to obey what Christ has commanded us to obey. And the last thing that I want to ask is this, is if you're a new believer, a young believer, or just someone who just says, I feel like I need to know what it truly means to follow Christ, would you make yourself known? What I mean by that is, would you let me know? Would you let someone in your life know? Would you let one of our elders know? Because I believe that there is an older man or an older woman who can come alongside you in the season of life and help you. And please, let that not be a sense of embarrassment or shame. If you feel like you've been following him for so long and yet you've never really known what to follow him, may today be the day that you begin to walk in obedience to him.